You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
It's Friday morning in Chicago, and you've chosen to listen to Catholic Radio on AM 950. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, thanking you for making that choice. I'm here with Wayne Majars. We are...
Good morning. It's been so long since we've worked together.
This is true. That's because you've been in Helsinki.
I've been traveling around a little bit. Yes, I have. And,
and our schedule just hasn't 20-hour matched. Days. Yeah. What the heck is that?
20-hour days. It is. It was a bit odd to be walking out of a restaurant after dinner at 11 o'clock in bright sunshine and never really getting dark until about 2:30 in the morning. And
so can you tan till that hour of the day?
I think so. But it was a great,
you look like
part
you
of
caught
the
a few rays there.
That's blood pressure. No, it was...
Well,
it was,
we hope not to raise it during this program.
No, I'm sure not.
Yeah. This morning, we are going to be talking to some of the Sisters of the Holy Family of Nazareth who are celebrating 125 years of service in the Catholic Church. Joining us in the studio this morning to talk about the wonderful work of this order are Sister Barbara Jean Wojnicki, the Director of Novices, Sister Virginette Rypinuski, I should have asked you how to pronounce that name. We'll get back to that. Who is the general counselor at the CSFN General in Rome, and Sister Maria Sophia Gerlach, a novice, who is about to begin her second year in the novitiate. Before joining the community, Maria Sophia taught high school in Philadelphia. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
It's good to be with you.
That's very impressive, 125 years. Now, of course, you know, in the Catholic Church, we've got orders like the Benedictines, who've been around forever, and the Franciscans, you know, about 800 years. So 125 might seem relatively young compared to them. On the other hand, in this country, 125 years is a heck of a long time. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about your beginnings.
We were founded in 1875 in Rome. So we are 136 years old as a congregation, 125 years here in the States. And our foundress was a Polish noblewoman, Frances Siedliska, who has been beatified as of 1989. And she responded to a request from the pre-Resurrection Fathers here in Chicago in 1885 to come here and minister to the needs of the immigrant Poles who had left a really conflictual setting in Europe in the 19th century. At the time that she was asked to come here, there were 22 members in the whole congregation. We were just recently formed. And originally she thought, well, maybe she would send...
Did she form the community specifically in response to that request?
She formed the community in response to an outreach to work with families. During that time in the church, the Holy Father stressed the need to reach out to families who were oppressed and who were faced with a lot of difficulties during that time in the political, social picture of the world. And that's what she responded to with our congregation. And then when she received the request to come to the States, she brought half of her congregation. She and 10 other sisters came here and arrived on the shores of New York on July 4th, 1885. And we've been here ever since.
Mm-hmm. Sister Barbara, tell us about the charism of the order and today what the sisters are primarily engaged in.
The charism of the community is basically the spirituality of the Holy Family. And how that Holy Family really embodied the love, that love relationship in the Holy Trinity. So our foundress saw that the Holy Family really reflected the Trinitarian love. And she wanted us to not only be that type of family for others to see, but also to spread the kingdom of God's love. Those were her words, the kingdom of God's love, which Jesus came to found and really blossomed in the Holy Family. And so she really wanted us to spread that, not only among ourselves, because you can't give what you don't have, but primarily among families. And
I was reading St. Therese of Lisieux's autobiography last night. She mentions a devotion to St. Joseph, and she sort of mentions it peripherally because she talks often about her relationship with the Blessed Mother, and then she mentions, well, you know, as part of my devotion to the Blessed Mother, I also always had a devotion to Joseph. I'm intrigued by Joseph, but I'm also mystified because we know so little about him. How do you foster a devotion and relationship to Joseph within your community, within your sisters? We've got Maria Sofia here, who's a novice within the community. How have you been introduced to the Holy Family, and how do you get to know someone like Joseph?
Well,
I don't mean to put you on the spot there. So,
but you did.
you can defer to the elders here if you like. That's quite all right.
The interesting thing is, part of our classes this semester, Sister Maria Sophia was looking at Jesus, specifically Jesus, then Mary, and Joseph. So she's well equipped to answer this question.
All right.
Well, I did spend a lot of time. Sister gave me different resources, different articles about Mary herself, Joseph himself, and Jesus. And I was given the wonderful opportunity to take like 6 weeks, I think, just to spend time praying the character of Joseph. You know, so what is it I see in him? Where is the fatherhood aspect? I read some wonderful things talking about Joseph as daddy, and to even look at that, it was just beautiful for me.
That's wonderful. Just say a little bit more. It was beautiful. It was powerful. Give us some specifics, if you can, about what you learned about Joseph and what you keyed into in particular in terms of your own spirituality.
One of the things I guess I'll go specific on is so many people think about Joseph and silence. One of the things that I've been getting used to in novitiate is a level of silence that's different from the life that I used to lead. I was working in high schools. I was working in the city. And now to have stepped back from that is a gift to me. And just to spend time and to find, a lot of times people had thought about persons who are quiet. They don't have anything to say. They've got nothing to stand up for. But I found a quiet strength in Joseph's silence and knowing who he was about, that he was there for God and for all that God wanted him to do, and he didn't have to defend himself to anybody.
Yeah. So. I don't know if our listeners could hear it, but we clearly can see that you're very moved by that reflection, so thank you.
Yeah, Sister Virginette, tell us a little bit about the work of the sisters today. What are you primarily engaged in, and how does your ministry really play out in today's?
Well, across the whole world, we're involved in many, many ministries, as you can well imagine. Here in the States, for many, many years, we were chiefly engaged in education, in healthcare, in social work. And that has been carried on even until today, but in a lesser sense, with some of the sisters who have retired now and are into a type of prayer ministry, if you will. Around the world, our sisters fulfill the needs as they see them. When the church calls for any specific type of involvement, whether it's social work, whether it's orphans, whether it's dealing with the elderly, our sisters respond to the call as best they can. We have sisters all over, well, not all over the world. We're in 14 different countries, and we have 7 provinces, which go throughout the world, and our sisters work with all different types of people and people who have all different types of needs. For instance, our sisters in the Philippines work with the people there who are very poor, very, very poor, and they work to reconcile marriages. They work to bring about a type of beginning ecclesial experience with these people. So they meet various needs as presented.
You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. We are talking with Sister Barbara, Sister Virginette, and Sister Maria Sophia about the Sisters of the Holy Family of Nazareth, who are celebrating 125 years in service to the Catholic Church. And it's 9:09 in the morning. We'll be right back.
Join the movement to run in the 2011 Bank of America Chicago Marathon on Sunday, October 9th as a pledge runner for Team Catholic Charities. The race is sold out, but we have post-close entries for you or someone you know. To join or sponsor the Catholic Charities Marathon team or to join the committee, call 312-655-7912. That's 312-655-7912. Visit us at catholiccharities.net/Chicago Marathon and we'll see you at the finish line.
Are you Mawusi? Mawusi means in the hands of God in Ewe, a language of the Ghanaian people.
The Office of Catechesis and Youth Ministry sponsors the annual Mawusi Retreat, celebrating Black Catholic spirituality. This year's theme is Signed, Sealed, Delivered, I'm Called. We'll explore how we are signed by our baptism, sealed by the Holy Spirit, delivered from sin, and called to a life with Christ.
Experience Black Catholic spirituality through robust talks, prayer sessions, reconciliation, Eucharistic adoration, reflective time, and a forum focusing on vocations.
The retreat is designed for adults discerning ministry, lay and religious ministers who serve the Black Catholic community, and anyone else seeking a spiritual call to action.
Join us at Mawusi, Friday, July 22nd to Sunday, July 24th, at Techne Towers in Techne, Illinois, near Northbrook. For additional information, call 312-534-8046 or visit our website, www.catechesis-chicago.org.
That's 312-534-8046 or www.catechesis-chicago.org. Also, check us out on Facebook. Search for Mawusi Chicago.
Are you Mawusi?
And welcome back into the program, Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Wayne Majors and Graziano Marcheschi, who is here this morning. First time we worked together in a long, long time.
It's about time.
It's nice to have someone across the table from me other than Father Greg, who's always going to be riding me about something I said or something I did. Or
telling you a joke off air, and then you're cracking up when you're coming back on.
Exactly. Talking with three sisters from the Sisters of the Holy Family of Nazareth, who are celebrating their 125th year anniversary in service to the church. Sister Barbara Jean Wojnicki, who is the director of novices. Sister Virginia Repniewski, who is the general counselor at the sister?
Very good. Very good,
CSF and general in Rome. And Sister Mary Sophia Gerlach, who is a novice. And just before the break, Sister Virginette, you were talking about a number of the works that the sisters do and how they really respond in various ministries across the world. Sister Barbara, that work really melds hand in glove with the charism of the sisters. Talk a little bit about that.
Very much so, because as Sister was saying, we do many things in response to the needs of the church wherever we are. But our ministry to families really is what allows us to do that, because no matter what we do, whether it's parish work or working with children or being in a school or CCD work, whatever it is, we touch families either directly through family ministry or indirectly through children or through hospital work or whatever. And that's the beauty, I think, of our charism.
Is it reasonable to say that because of that charism, the way you go about your various ministries really take on a different dimension? Working in healthcare, for example, mm-hmm. It's not just about the patient; it's about the patient and the patient's family. Working in with the poor, and that dimension really brings a richness to not only your ministry but to those who you minister to.
Very Very much so. And people will say that to us, that if we've taken over perhaps a school or another ministry that someone else has had previously, they will say things like, it feels so much like home here. And that really warms our hearts, because home is Nazareth for us, and we want to spread that, being at home in Nazareth.
If I'm not mistaken, you reached out in a very special way to families in a healing way through a statue you commissioned and donated for the Archdiocesan Healing Garden.
True.
Mm-hmm. Talk about that a little bit.
I don't know too much about it. Maybe what we do know about it is that, again, as a way of touching and healing families, no matter what the background, no matter what the pain of reaching out and trying to just be there in a way that is very simple, very down to earth. We aren't very much into anything other than very simple living and very simple reaching out to people.
Yeah. For our listeners, the Healing Garden is a garden that's set apart, established right next door to Holy Family Parish on Roosevelt Road, to honor victims of sexual abuse. And the Sisters of Nazareth donated a gorgeous sculpture of the Holy Family. It has Mary, Joseph, and Jesus standing in a circle. And I had the privilege of seeing it, and it's just a wonderful, wonderful piece.
Mm-hmm. It shows the relationship, I think, and the joy of just being together as family. And I think that's something that we try by our own presence to bring back to the family. There are so many wounds in family and so much need for healing, and hopefully just by our presence we can add to that healing.
Sister Mary Sophia, tell us about, after hearing now a bit about the work of the sisters, their charism and some of their ministries, tell us your story. What motivated, what inspired, what really touched you in joining the Sisters of the Holy Family of Nazareth?
Well, technically, I've known the sisters pretty much my entire life. One of my great aunts was a member of our congregation. Then I came in contact with the sisters again when I went to high school. After college, I came back and started working with the sisters. And through all of those experiences, what really connected with me was that sense of family, that sense of home. And I was able to say, this is the place I've been looking for so many years. I had that experience of, where's my home? Where do I belong? This side of heaven. And Nazareth was that place.
I like how you say that, because we all ultimately belong in heaven. Mm-hmm. But this side of heaven, God has a plan for us. Is that typical, that a novice would be attracted to the community through one of your various ministries?
It probably was more typical in years past because there were more of us. But I do think the one-to-one relationship really helps when you get to know a sister, whether that's by Facebook today or however, the webpage, or talking on the phone, or direct meeting with one of the sisters. I think that's very, very helpful.
Now, how did you get involved in healthcare ministry? That's the way that I'm aware of the Sisters of the Holy Family, through the hospital that you have here in the Chicago area. How did that begin?
Our first hospital began in 1894. And again, because of the need of the Polish immigrants. And it was a small 24-bed hospital close to where St. Mary of Nazareth Hospital is now located. And it, again, to meet the needs of the people who needed help in their own infirmities and their need for assistance and the inability they had to communicate because of the language barrier. Sure. So, again, the sisters were able to help in that way. And the ministry grew. There was a time where in St. Mary's Hospital, there used to be 100 sisters working at a time. 50 of them would be on the floor servicing the nursing needs and medical needs of the patients, and the other 50 would be home sleeping, and then they would switch shifts, and the other 50 would come and minister to the needs of the people. And
so what can you do today to maintain the Catholic character and identity of an institution like a hospital when there are so fewer sisters present?
I think one way is to educate those that work with us as far as our charism, and we do that with a mission education so that those who work with us understand our charism and understand our ministry, and they participate in that by virtue of the fact that they're working with us. And to make wherever we are a Nazareth, that was something that was very close to it. We don't, some communities call their houses convents or houses. We call them homes. This is my home. And I think that's such a special way of talking about a convent. The other way that we can make our charism more known is through our Association of the Holy Family, which are lay people who have come to know us through whatever way and join us in praying for families. That's the number one thing for them. And then ministering with us in some capacity as they are able.
We need to go to a short break. When we come back, we're going to continue our conversation and find out how the Sisters of the Holy Family are going to be celebrating their 125th anniversary. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at catholicnewworld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Blessed Pope John Paul II's Theology of the Body is changing lives around the world. It brings clarity to many of the tough questions regarding our sexuality and God's plan for love and life. Please join the Respect Life Office and the Office for Catholic Schools for the Theology of the Body for Teens curriculum training. This two-day training is perfect for teachers, youth ministers, catechists, and anyone who wants to bring Theology of the Body to teenagers. The Theology of the Body for Teens High School Edition training will take place on Friday evening, August 12th. The training for the new middle school edition will take place Saturday, August 13th, and will include lunch and materials. Both trainings will take place at Queen of the Rosary Parish in Elk Grove Village. For more information or to register, please contact the Respect Life Office at 312-534-5355 or check out their website at respectlifechicago.org.
Welcome back to Catholic Community Faith. Graziano Marcheschi and Wayne Magyars welcoming you and thanking you for spending this part of your morning with us. We have the privilege this morning of speaking with three of the Sisters of the Holy Family of Nazareth who've been celebrating for this past year their 125th anniversary of service in the church. We have with us Sister Barbara Jean Wojnicki, Director of Novices, Sister Virginette Lipniewski.
Close? You. Very good.
Very good. Wow.
Not bad for an Irish guy.
For an Irish guy. And Sister Maria Sophia Gerlach. Are you all done celebrating this anniversary, or are there still some events to come?
We finished celebrating on July 4th of this past 2 weeks. And we had a really four-day celebration where we gathered sisters from and friends and associates from all over the country, as well as from abroad. We had our general administration in, our superior general and her council. We had major leadership from all of our provinces around the world: Australia, Philippines, Belarus, two in Poland, one in Europe, plus ourselves.
And we had 4 days of presentations and affirmation, which was really, really, really a shot in the arm for all of us.
Say more about that. What was that? Presentations and affirmations.
Presentations on recalling the past, living the present, and envisioning the future. And time was given to each presenter to really go back and look back at our foundation and our roots and what impelled us to come here and give ourselves in ministry. And then looking at the present and what steps we are taking to continue in our work of ministry. And then another presenter speaking on the future, how we see ourselves. Yeah. Missioning in the future.
Tell us how you see yourselves ministering in the future. Sister Mary Sophia is the future on earth prior to heaven. as you go forward and as your order, as well as a number of others, of course, across the world, grapple with keeping the charism alive, making sure that lay individuals are immersed in the ministry to the point where they can carry on your work. What are some of the key challenges you see as you envision the future?
Well, numbers, our presence. We have now more senior members in the United States. Across the congregation, our median age is 48. So yeah. We are quite young.
We are very young,
but all of our youth, not all of our youth, a good part of our youth is abroad. And we have been blessed to have come to the States, some of our younger members from different countries, and they have come here and taken up the challenge of language, taken up the challenge of ministry. And we are blessed to have them working with us.
What countries are the younger vocations coming from?
They came from Poland. We have one from Syria. I think that's
Vietnam.
Vietnam. We have sisters in Texas from Vietnam. Mm-hmm. So they have come here to our shores and become a part of who we are here.
Now, where might our listeners have encountered the sisters and been the recipients of your ministry here within the Chicago area?
Within the Chicago area, over the years, we've ministered. Our first mission was founded by our foundress at St. Josephat Parish. We've been at St. Hedwig's, which is nearby. We branched off from the mother Polish parish in Chicago, which was St. Stanislaus Kostka, and from there we went to St. Josephat's. On the west side, St. Adalbert's. On the south side, St. Andrew's, Calumet City. Mm. We've been in many, many parishes over the years. And again, as restraints came, we had to withdraw or remove ourselves, or the parishes closed, and of course we were, you know, moving from there.
And now your primary ministries are St. Mary of Nazareth and Holy Family Hospitals?
Basically, yes. Mm-hmm. I think that's where we really find ourselves now, here in the Chicago area.
Right.
Education is still alive and very strong out in the Philadelphia area, mm-hmm. as Sister Maria Sophia can attest to, and in healthcare and in some parish work in the southwest area of Texas. In Connecticut, same thing, social work. We have sisters who are in prison ministry. And so we're continuing to meet the needs where they present themselves.
We have just a couple of moments left. Be sure to mention, if you can, please, to our listeners, the website and some of the things that we can find out via the website. It's mm-hmm. quite impressive.
Our web address is nazarethcsfn.org,
and we're that one more time.
nazarethcsfn.org. And you'll find a lot of things on that website. Specifically, I was looking last night at vocations, how to join us, where we're involved, the Association of the Holy Family of Nazareth, and a lot of news clips. I found us last night that we were going to be here.
It says CSFN's on Relevant Radio.
Yes.
But there's no mention of our name, Gratz.
Oh, dear.
Oh, how sad.
That's the good thing about websites. They can be
exactly.
easily edited.
Right.
And we are also on Facebook. We're the Sisters of the Holy Family of Nazareth in the USA, if you look for us on Facebook.
And being such a young community, it means you're going to be around for a long time to come.
Oh, yeah. God willing.
We certainly hope so.
Amen. And vehicles like Facebook and Twitter are going mm-hmm. to be important for the future vocations.
That's right.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah, Sister, tell me, Sister Barbara, did you think 10 years ago that you would be on a radio show talking about your Facebook page?
No.
No.
You had me at radio station 10 years ago.
We're delighted to have this opportunity to talk with you and to learn about the good work that you're doing, because you are so emblematic of so much that's happening within the life of the church. There are so many courageous religious women out there who have sustained the church for centuries. And while the numbers have diminished, you're still a very powerful presence and still making an incredible difference in the life of the church. You know, sisters aren't as visible as they used to be because, unlike yourselves, who wear distinctive garb, you know, a lot of sisters don't. And so sometimes, you know, we're not as aware of them as we might be. But I know that my life was greatly impacted. I'm sure yours was, Wayne. You wouldn't be such a nice guy if you hadn't been taught by sisters somewhere along the way.
I was. I confess, I've never confessed this on this radio program before. I didn't go to Catholic grammar school, but I did go to Catholic high school and, of course, over to Loyola. So I've had Jesuits and Irish Christian brothers, but sisters in the catechetical program during elementary school, all of which I got along with wonderfully. No issues. Never got slapped on the wrist with rulers like Rotz did. It was a very pleasant experience. God bless you all. Thanks for being with us.
Thank
Congratulations
you
on 125 years, Sister Barbara, Sister Virginette, and Sister Maria Sophia. And you're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM, and we'll be right back.
I'm Father Robert Barron. Our new Catholicism documentary series and study program can now be pre-ordered online. Go to CatholicismPreorder.com. Will you help me introduce this one-of-a-kind film series and catechetical program to your parish, school, and diocese? Journey around the world and deep into the faith in this 10-part, 10-hour epic adventure. Learn more at CatholicismPreorder.com.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 AM, the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith. It's 9:32 on this Friday morning, and thank you for spending this part of your day with us. We are very privileged to have this opportunity to tell you about some of the good things happening within the Archdiocese. You just heard about the Holy Family of Nazareth and their 125th anniversary. Now we're going to be talking with one of the energetic, vibrant, lively people.
Nervous.
Nah, look at Tiffany.
Crazy.
Who works with our youth. You know, that alone should tell you that this is someone who's really committed to the gospel, because that ain't always easy work, and it's exhausting a lot of the time. We're going to be speaking with Tiffany Swan Covington and a young man who we're talking to on the phone.
Yes, Rudy Gomez.
Rudy Gomez is going to join us on the phone, and they're going to be telling us all about the events related to World Youth Day and how we're going to be celebrating it here while others are going there. Welcome, Tiffany.
Hi, Graz. How are you?
I'm very good.
Good morning, and God bless you both.
Well,
thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me here. Always a pleasure.
The last time you were on the program, this event was months away.
Yes. And I wish it were still months away.
And you said it's all going to be fine. Everything is running like a well-oiled machine. And we're here today to ask you, how's it looking? How are we doing?
It's looking really good. We're about 4.5, not quite 5 weeks out. I try to put it on the far side. You notice that, right? Things are coming along really well. A lot of excitement is still building up, and every day after I come out of a meeting, my to-do list gets doubled at least. So
how many Utes are you planning to bring to World Ute Day?
Well, between 1,500 and 2,000.
Are you kidding me?
No, that is the target, and we'll see. I have my ideas about that number, but I'm not going to share with them publicly here on the radio. But I'm very optimistic about the number of people that are going to be drawn
adults,
to this event.
And how many adults, chaperone-type people are coming along?
3,000.
Well, actually, that number that I mentioned to you
includes
the adults. So, but we do know that at least 75% of the people there will be teens. And then a smaller percentage will be young adults because they are invited to be a part of this. We don't want it to seem like a kiddie teen event. But we do have a good number of young adults who are looking to volunteer to help with the event as well. So.
Now, are you interfacing primarily with youth groups within parishes to bring these young people to the World Youth Day, or is it running a number of different tracks?
Well, the parishes are the first main target, especially since this is considered the kickoff for the Archdiocesan Pastoral Plan, the Year of the Teen and Young Adult. So that is our first target, the parishes. We have also spoken to different movements that have association with the Archdiocese of Chicago, youth movements, Catholic youth movements, as well as neighboring dioceses, Joliet, Rockford, Milwaukee, Indianapolis, the different dioceses in Indiana, Illinois, and Wisconsin, they've all been invited to bring their youth that aren't going to Madrid to come and celebrate with us here in Chicago.
So are you a goer or a stayer?
I am a stayer. If I were to go, I'd probably lose my job, but
well,
I'm a stayer.
We're
here.
Not going to explore what the possible
Tiffany,
reasons are.
I wish I were going to
Tiffany
Madrid now.
Tiffany whispered to me that she has a ticket to Madrid, that in case things really start to go
right.
bad here, she'll just jump on a plane and
exactly,
go there.
Exactly, exactly.
We've now, got Rudy Gomez on the phone. Welcome, Rudy.
Hey there. Thank you for having me.
Are you a goer or a stayer?
I am a goer.
You're a goer.
Why are you going? Why am I going? Ask God, truly. I mean, it's just been such a crazy year, being a volunteer here with the Salesians and living at St. John Bosco Church, and now getting an opportunity to go with a group of Salesians over to actually going to Portugal and to Fatima first, which is just going to be, I mean, mind-blowing. I really can't even imagine it. This will be my first World Youth Day. So, yeah, we're going with about 50 young people from the Salesian congregation over there to Madrid, and it's going to be amazing. I can't even, just all the videos and all the excitement, and working on World Youth Day Chicago here with Tiffany is just getting me even more excited for Madrid.
Rudy, what are you hearing from others that are going along with you? You've got a spirit that is palpable even over the telephone for your experience. What are others that you're going with saying?
They're really excited. Some of the ones who have gone before to other World Youth Days like Australia and even in Cologne. It seems like it really is such a new thing every time that you go that it's really hard to compare. And so even just going Australia being the last one is just on a totally different continent, and now Madrid. And so we just had a webinar with our travel agent, and so they're just giving us all the details and the hotels and where we're staying. It's just people are just getting so excited about it. And just the thought of being able to be there with so many, I don't know what they're expecting, a million, I don't know, a couple hundred thousand, who knows. Young people and just Catholics, and just to be able to fill Madrid with this energy for Christ and with this love and this spirit, it's exciting. They're just really,
I've never
really excited.
But I always get the feeling that it's kind of like a holy Woodstock every 4 years.
That's probably a good way to put it. Absolutely.
My wife and I watched Secretariat last night, which is set in the late 60s, early 70s. So I've got, you know, all those hippie days and Woodstock on the brain. But it has sort of that mythology about it, you know, mm-hmm. that it's this incredible event, especially during the days of John Paul II, you know, mm-hmm. the opportunity to encounter that blessed holy man. But apparently Benedict XVI loves the youth just as much as John Paul II did.
Yeah, absolutely. There's really no doubt about that. And just the different thing, and it says we got a schedule sort of the Pope and where he's going to be in the different moments that we might be able to see him or hear him speak. And he's really going to be everywhere, speaking to so many different groups. So he's definitely one that gets around, I guess, in the same way that blessed John Paul sort of had the reputation to. And so it's just really excitement, just sheer excitement about it.
Tiffany, to use a Grazism, one of the things that you're going to be doing here is connecting with there and really affording those youth that are going to be attending the local Chicago celebration at Our Lady of Guadalupe Shrine in Des Plaines feel as if they are a part of a much bigger event going on in Madrid. Tell us about that.
Well, initially we had hoped to televise the same live, the speech that the Pope will, the address that he would give to the young people at the very end of World Youth Day, where he announces the next location. But because of the time difference and because of the constraints of the time that we have here in Chicago, we've moved our mass a little bit earlier, and so therefore we're looking to record it and play it back. So it won't be live. But we also hope to be able to stream live video of things that are going on with some of the Chicagoans that are over there, as well as different things that different feed that we'll be able to get through EWTN to show people live and get them excited about what's happening in Madrid. Because the whole purpose of this is not only to bring young people, it's primarily to bring young people closer to Christ, but to get those that can't go to Madrid this year excited enough so that they can plan 3 years out for the next World Youth Day. So they'll get a taste of what it's like, and that they'll get their fundraising together and start their planning now for 3 years from now. And rumor has it's going to be somewhere in South America. I won't say where. I think that's where they say it's going to be. But we'll know come the end
won't
of
have
the
to
day.
Cross the ocean.
Yeah, so
you're listening to Catholic Community of Faith. We're going to take a short break and then come back and continue our conversation about the Holy Woodstock, otherwise known as World Youth Day. Don't go away, we'll be all right back. Seated on the throne, I search to find you, Jesus, with all my heart and soul. I did not find you among the foul of old. You were in the poor, the weak, the broken, and the lone.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
Catholic Charities Loving Outreach to Survivors of Suicide program has provided specialized counseling and support groups for adults in the Chicago area for many years. LOS recently initiated a support program for children and teens ages 3 to 18 and will be running a summer session. Any parents, teens, or children who have been affected by the death of a loved one to suicide are welcome. For more details about LOS and the summer program, call 312-655-7283.
Do you need to train leaders and educate your assembly about the new words we will soon hear and say at Mass? Mystical Body, Mystical Voice DVD and Formation Program is a proven resource that gives church professionals tools with which to teach about the liturgy and about the new words of the Revised Roman Missal. Not only will this program help ease the transition to using the new Mass texts, but it will open the eyes of your assembly to the riches of the liturgy. Advent 2011 is fast approaching. To prepare your parish and provide them with an opportunity for ongoing faith and liturgical formation, call Liturgy Training Publications at 800-933-1800 or visit ltp.org. That's 800-933-1800 or visit ltp.org.
And welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. The World Youth Day is just about 5 weeks away. There is no one in the Archdiocese of Chicago who is counting the days, the hours, the minutes more than Tiffany Swan Covington, who is with us. She's the Youth Ministry Coordinator for the Archdiocese and will be in charge of the here of World Youth Day. And in the background, what we're hearing is the Peter Bierer Band. Tell us about that music, Tiffany.
Well, Peter Bierer is a band out of Mankato with Minnesota. Minnesota. Anyway, they are coming to World Youth Day. The song that you're hearing is called Call to Glory, and it was a finalist in a contest for the theme for NCYC, which is the National Catholic Youth Conference. It did not win, but it's a pretty cool song, and the video that goes with it is pretty cool, too. It's multilingual on the video. So Peter has allowed us graciously to let us have it to play here today. And also it is going to be the song that we're using for our promo video, which will debut next Wednesday on YouTube and Facebook and also on our website for the Archdiocese Youth Ministry website. And he's just so tickled that we're using his music and having him involved in this way. And we're grateful, truly grateful to him.
What a brave new world we're living in.
Truly.
You're talking about, you know, your new video premiering on Facebook and YouTube. We just had sisters here talking about Facebook and their website. It's like, wow, things change so fast.
Right. And there's another big surprise with using Peter's music, but I can't tell you over the over the radio.
Oh, a little tease.
Yes. You just have to come on August 20th, overnight event, and you have to come and see what it's all about.
It's very special, right?
Extremely special.
Exciting.
Very hip, too. Very hip.
And we hear Rudy's involved in that, too.
Yes, he is.
Yes.
Are you the instigator, Rudy?
No, not at all. Tiffany is doing that all on her own.
Rudy, you were here just a couple weeks ago, right?
Didn't I was,
we just interview?
Absolutely, with the youth ministry segment in the morning.
Yeah.
Oh, great.
Cool.
But Rudy's also part of developing a section of the World Youth Day Chicago style called Youth as Saints. Rudy, tell us a little bit about what you've been doing with that.
Yeah, so I guess some weeks ago, the lay ecclesial movements of the church got together there downtown, and just all kinds of different representatives. The Salesians were there, Reginum Christi, a part of the Legionnaires were there, and Focolare Movement, and Couples for Christ, a ton of different movements come together for this sort of one 45-minute segment during World Youth Day Chicago style, which is a youthful holiness, youth as saints, because we think it's attainable to the young people to become saints. And for some of them, they might seem like it's such a distant thing. How can I possibly become a saint? But the Salesians and the Focolare movement and all these different lay ecclesial movements have holy people, saints themselves, blessed within the church, that can say, you know what, it's attainable for you, it's possible. So during this 45-minute segment, it'll be divided, and it'll be very multimedia-friendly, different videos and different types of mediums to reach the young people and different testimonies and that kind of thing. And it's just exciting. It's exciting to kind of share that with the young people as a Salesian myself, being dedicated to young people. It's exciting, really.
I can't tell you how it warms my heart to hear you talk about offering that kind of idealistic and heroic ideal to the young people. Tell me about the kind of reaction you get when you tell a young person you can be holy, you could be a saint.
Yeah,
I think some people would expect they're going to walk away or they're going to laugh at you. What really happens?
I mean, the initial look is sort of like a, what are you talking about? Say what? You know, one of those kind of things. But again, as a Salesian, Saint Dominic Savio, when he was with Don Bosco there in the oratory, he wanted to become a saint so badly, so he would sort of do these penances, and he would go just with a thin sheet in the cold winter to kind of punish himself, and he would sleep on rocks and that sort of thing, because that supposedly is how you became a saint back in the day. But with Saint John Bosco now, and then just all these young saints like Chiara Luce and holiness is happiness. You know, you can be joyful, you can have fun and be a saint. You know, where have you seen a sort of a depressed, a sad, you know, saint? You can't, because they've gained the ultimate prize, you know, in heaven, and that's what kind of world we're all shooting for.
Remind us who Chiara Luce is.
Carol Luce, and from the very little I know about her, she was a young girl. I believe she passed away in the 1980s, so she's very recent. But she battled her short but very intense life. She had cancer, and just through her suffering is kind of how she reached holiness. She offered up her suffering to God, and was, you know, she rejected morphine the entire time through all the pain that she was going through, and said, you know what, if this is my way to praise God, if this is what God has in store for me, I'm going to go ahead and do it, because I think that's what he wants from me.
And one of the things that that we wanted to highlight are especially those young people, teenagers or early 20s, who recently in the past, in the 20th century and already in the 21st century, who are on the path to sainthood, so that they are people who look like us and that the teens can better relate to, rather than somebody from like the 14th century who they're not in touch with at all. So we'll be highlighting a few of those,
Tiffany,
too.
Tiffany, tell us, we talked about the many ways that we're going to that this program locally and also in Madrid is going to connect with young folks. But tell us about the program. This is really an opportunity for young people to come together and enliven their faith life, reconnect with others who are their age, and recognizing their common spirituality, their common faith. How is that going to take place programmatically here in Chicago? Give us an example of kind of the experience that the young people here are going to go through.
Okay. Aside from the two stages that we have set up for praise and worship music and dance programs for the different cultures that are represented here in Chicago, that's the fun part of it, all the entertainment part of it. But there's also catechetical sessions. Father Michael Sparrow is going to be leading the catechetical session for the teens. We have we're going to have midnight mass. There's, of course, going to be food. But we're going to be praying the Stations of the Cross. There is the Rosary, an introduction to the Rosary. There will be adoration in the chapel. There will be an opportunity for you to make your own Rosary. There's an exhibit hall that's going to be there with different vendors who cater to the spiritual and social needs of the young people. As I mentioned, there's the grotto there. The place itself, the shrine itself, is a very special place in Chicago. So there's going to be something to do every minute of the night. They're going to have a difficult time figuring out what to do next.
All right. We're going to talk a little bit more about the program and how to get additional information. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio, 950 AM. We're talking about the upcoming World Youth Day Chicago style. Tiffany Swan Covington and Rudy Gomez, and we'll be right back.
Know in their 20s or 30s, adult children, grandchildren, colleagues, neighbors, and friends.
The Archdiocese of Chicago is offering something just for them. It's called Theology on Tap.
We all know people who aren't as connected to the church as we wish they were. We also know young adults who are very connected, sharing gifts in many ways.
However connected they are, let's take it to the next level. Theology on Tap is a speaker and discussion series exclusively for people in their 20s and 30s, married and single.
It's an opportunity for them to meet good people their own age.
To deepen their faith and spirituality.
To make connections between faith and everyday life.
And explore the things that matter most.
It's a chance for all of us to share the Catholic faith with them, so they in turn can pass it to others.
We encourage you to personally invite young adults to Theology on Tap. It begins July 10th at locations throughout the Chicagoland area.
Details can be found at yamchicago.org.
That's yamchicago.org.
Welcome back. World Youth Day coming up on August 20th, 9 p.m. to 7 a.m.
Correct.
In Chicago.
It's
an overnighter. It's a third shifter.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Under the stars with no rain. Please, Lord, please no rain. Everybody, please pray for no rain.
Okay, just a few weeks to go. What's still to be done? You've got you're expecting between 1,500 and 2,000.
Yes.
So the venue will handle that no problem.
No problem whatsoever.
What's still on your to-do list?
On my to-do list?
So we can set up chairs. Gratz and I are really good at setting up chairs.
Yes, by the way, bring your own chair and blanket. We'll have chairs there for the bass and everything.
You think
bring
anyone's
your own chairs
go to sleep?
And blanket. I hope not. I mean, with all the activity that's going to be happening, how could you? But I think some of those.
I think you should show a movie. You know,
those over 40, maybe they will.
Like drive-in movies from the olden days?
A movie, yeah, that is a great idea.
On a huge screen, enormous.
Yeah, and that wasn't the original plans for it, to show some Christian films there as something else for them to do, but we've got to work within the parameters of a specific budget, and so maybe not this year, but
maybe
that's a great
idea.
Maybe
there's a donor out there.
Maybe there is.
Like
I hope
so. Would
like
to give you money for a big screen and a movie.
But, you know, it's really inexpensive to go, too. It's only $20 to get in. The pre-registration has been up and running, and we'll take pre-registrations up until a week before the event. So by the 13th, the registration will close. And with that $20, you get a meal. After Mass, we're serving like a Subway meal to everybody who comes. So you get something to eat. You can bring your own food, too, a cooler if you want. You know, just like you do at like a Ravinia. You bring your own stuff. You sit out. You relax and you enjoy and stuff like that. So,
all right, Rudy, your turn. Words of inspiration. A young person out there this morning who's listening to the program and is intrigued but not quite yet pushed to the decision of saying, yeah, I want to go. What would you say to him?
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's really just that, a little bit of that fear of loss. I mean, just what? First of all, what would you be doing besides sleeping that day, seriously, from 9 p.m. to 7 a.m.? But really just that I think this is really going to be one of those events to kick off the Year of the Youth and Young Adult, one of those events that kids are going to for years be talking about and just saying, I was there. I was there with 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 young people. My faith grew because of it. It was an amazing witness because I think we're part of a larger church. And for youth ministers who are out there listening and for pastors as well, I mean, just buy into this. This is one of those things where for the young people, the vision of the church will change, where it's not just so much just your parish, but now there's 2,000 people around me in Chicago who are also experiencing this, along with hundreds of thousands and millions of people in Madrid, all kind of pushing to the same thing, all, you know, on that journey of faith, and hoping to grow together and journey together.
You know, I was 19 when Woodstock happened, and I sometimes think I could have been there.
Yeah. Right.
I could have been there. Now, we don't want any of our listeners or any of their children to think, you know, World Youth Day happened Chicago style, and I could have been there, but I didn't because I was too lazy or too uninterested. This is a once in every 4-year opportunity.
Right. And you know, Graz, I want to make mention about this. People are asking, well, how old do you have to be to go? Well, it's for teens and young adults. So 13 to 17 is what we call teenage years. And then 18
young
and over.
18 to 55.
And I'm sure that will hold true for some people that come. So, but it's going to be out at Our Lady Guadalupe in Des Plaines, 1100 North River Road in Des Plaines.
Which is central.
The
and
corner
River
of Central
Road.
And River Road. There is off-site parking. We'll have a shuttle service. So you don't have to worry too much about – there's no pay. You don't have to pay for parking. And we have a Facebook page. It's you can go to Facebook and put in search WYD11 Chicago. Or just type in Archdiocese of Chicago and all those pages related to it will come up. Come like our page. We're posting different events that are happening, little snippets of it, and little videos you can go to and learn more about the performers and things that are happening. There's also our website,
youthministry-chicago.org. Youthministry-chicago.org.
Correct. So, and we're just really trying to get the word out as best we can. So
all of you parents out there, all of you grandparents who often think you wish your kids or grandkids were more involved with their faith and who wish the Archdiocese provided opportunities for them to get involved with their faith, here it is.
Exactly.
Here's a chance.
And as the adults that come there will be surprised at the level of energy and excitement that the teens there will have.
You're still looking for volunteers?
Yes, please do. You can give me a call at my office, 312-534-8305.
We don't know.
Wow.
If you don't
really
know,
gotten bad.
We don't know.
Or go to the Facebook page, definitely.
I don't think even
message.
Rudy could help you on that one.
No, that's all.
8305, yes.
Well, we certainly wish you the best of luck, and we want to keep this effort, both the local one and the international one in Spain, in our prayers. It's a great opportunity to celebrate being Catholic and to come together with other young Catholics to deepen our faith and our commitment. You've been listening to Catholic Radio. We want to thank our producer, Diane Dunnigan, our engineer, Mike May. Thanks to my co-host, Wayne Majars. Next time, before you go to Helsinki, let me know.
I'll let you know.
Nice to be with you. I've never been there. We thank most of all our listeners. God bless you. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you on Monday. Seated on the throne, I search to find you, Jesus, with all my heart and soul. I did not find you among the powers of old. You were in the poor, the weak, the broken, and the alone.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.